when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Truckers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trucker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good Saturday afternoon, everybody. July the 6th in the year of our Lord, 2019. I hope we have a wonderful show for you tonight. I think we do. It's going to be very hard to do better than we did last week. Last week, as you well know, was very rare. We did for you people that didn't listen, we had what we call a marathon broadcasting situation going on up at Montgomery Bell State Park in Tennessee. Overall, we did me and Sam and Lee and Matt, we started off at 8 o'clock in the morning. We went to 8 to 10 on Liberty News Radio. That was the first time for us Blood River guys to do that. We were blessed and afforded a great opportunity, a great honor to be able to go on with Sam Bushman from eight to ten, and then from 4 to 6 we came on with Blood River, and then from six really. You wouldn't know it, but behind the scenes, we were working from 6 until 9 to help James and Keith to run the political cesspool. And if anybody that you heard come on the radio that day, the Blood River guys, we had to go round them up. I tell you what, it was like herding cats, man. I'm not kidding. Rounding those people up, getting them on time at the right place. Sam knows all about it. He's been in radio a lot longer than I have. To quote the one and only Sam, people, and it's not, they don't mean any harm. They just don't care about your. They don't care about your schedule. They know very little about radio. They think, if we get there plus or minus 10 minutes, that's good, you know. But anyway, we had a great time up there. I could not encourage you more. Go back to the archives and listen to last week's Liberty News Radio archives. What we did from 8 to 10, and then from Blood River 4 to 6, political cesspool from 6 to 9. It was great. It was great. What a great fellowship. But listen, I'm getting ready to shut up. I'm going to give you a quick outline, and then we're going to go to the prayer. Tonight, Jacob is off. Jacob's off. Matt's going to be riding a shotgun with us for the whole 2 hours. Lee's in the studio with me. We have a guest coming on in about a half hour. Never mind. We're getting ready to go to the prayer. Matt, you there? You ready to take us away with
the prayer? Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, fella, take it away.
All right, so just a quick Bible passage, Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that all suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. All right, let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for this beautiful day. Lord, whatever sufferings we go through in the current time or in times to come, it doesn't even compare to what your son went through on the cross for our sins. Lord, may we always remember that, and that through any suffering we have, it produces all sorts of good things at the end, through being tried. Lord, through this broadcast, help us to listen and to refine our hearts and our minds. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much, Matt. You used one key word there that we've pounded over and over and over here on Blood River, you and I, Lee, everybody. It's character, character. We're going to define that character later tonight as we go to the best of our ability. Anyway, I would just like to remind people, we want to plug this movie. We've got a few notes here. There's a new movie coming out. You know, there was a book written by some people we've had on the show. And we, matter of fact, we had him on about 2-3 weeks ago, Survivors of United States Ship Liberty. Well, True News, there were, I can encourage you to go and follow True News. They are a very wealthy news outfit. They're a Christian outfit. They have enough money to fly all over the world all the time. They're producing this movie about the Liberty, but it's not called Erasing the Liberty like the book. The book is called Erasing the Liberty. The new movie is called Sacrificing the Liberty. They released the thing on July the 4th. They were supposed to have the movie done by July the 4th, but to quote Pastor Rick Wiles, he said they have run upon more shocking revelations, more shocking evidence. I don't know how it could be more shocking unless they found the. The only thing they could be worse would be if they had on videotape, if they recorded Satan meeting with Mossad at the Temple Mount. I mean, I don't know how you get any more shocking than that. Okay, another thing is that people, we worked very hard, as you will know. We got the, you can donate to Blood River Radio online now. How long that'll be up, I don't know. But we, Lord have mercy, we need some donations. Our contract comes up before too much longer. And if you enjoy hearing us on this air, you need, I'll just be flat out and tell you, I don't like to beg for money, but hey, it takes money to do airtime, to do bandwidth. I have no idea what they mean by bandwidth, but Sam could tell you, but it costs money for bandwidth. Anyway, we're going to start off right here. I don't know how long we'll get, and we're going to do the next segment after this. We're going to kind of explain. Once in a while, we have to go back and tell people who we are, where we're coming from, and why we do what we do. We're kind of, if you would say, I think we're probably unique, or as my little daughter used to say, we're unique in what we do.
And here, and,
yeah, you know, and Lee and Matt are getting ready to jump in here in a minute. But I would just like to refer you people back to our website and read our thesis and read our action plan and read about who we are, what we call as character. Now, we made certain promises to each other. Matt brought it up last week on our second hour of Blood River. He said that when we started the radio show, I made promises to them that we would never back up. We would never prevent anyone from coming on our show. Because we don't just talk about the Constitution, we believe in it. I have defended the Constitution with my life unwillingly. I didn't volunteer, but I was drafted and I did it. Supposedly I did, but actually I was fighting for Goldman Sachs. But anyway, Goldman Sachs, excuse me, I'm staying corrected. But anyway, Sachs, whatever, tomato, tomato. But we will never bar anyone from coming on. If people cannot deal with the truth, that's not our fault. You know, I'm not holding us up to be Jeremiah and, you know, the other prophets. I know the other guys. When I get on the radio, I'll go blank with these little memories. We had Jeremiah was a big prophet. Then we have, I'm sure, Matt. Can, what's a couple of other prophets? What's some of the minor prophets?
Isaiah, Daniel, Hosea, Obadiah.
There you go. They, and I'm not saying we're like them, but they were suffering some of the same things they did. People say, oh, you know, you're too hardcore, you're too radical, you're too this, you're too that. Well, okay, people, we'll finish up one segment on this explaining who we are and why we do what we do. And then after the next segment, we're going to go to our great guest. He was in Charlottesville. He was also at Montgomery Bell last week. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused border agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. defendapatriot.com.
Regrets? Oh, we're all gonna have them. Doesn't matter who you are, what you do, at some point you're gonna wish you'd done something differently. You know, the woulda, coulda, shouldas. But let me tell you a couple of things you'll never regret. You'll never regret spending extra time talking to your teenager, trust me. You'll never regret answering your three-year-old's question about where the water in the bathtub comes from. And I've never seen anyone wish they hadn't sat in the kitchen laughing with their children and telling them goofy stories about when they were kids. Yeah, sure, we're all gonna have regrets, but talking too much with our kids won't be one of them.
No matter what you talk about, love is what they'll hear. A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at Mormon.org.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
Hey, I'm just an old chunk of coal. But I'm gonna
okay,
be
dear people, precious, precious people that listen to us, I certainly appreciate y'all coming in here. I really do. We're here for you. We really are, for our people. And then going back to what I was talking about, I've got to sum this up. It would probably take about 45 minutes to do a good job, but we don't have 45 minutes. I would just refer to you, like, to our website. Read our mission statement. Read our thesis. Some people call it the background. I call it the thesis. That's what, when I was writing papers in college, we called it a thesis. But anyway, listen, here's what it is. Our thesis on this show is that there is a program of global white genocide. You have the hard genocide that's going on in South Africa, people getting chopped up with axes and chainsaws and whatever. We got the soft genocide, which is an ethnic cleansing going on in Europe and going on big time in this United States right now. Listen, we can't even have a meeting anywhere. Last week at Montgomery Bell, we were kind of holed up in this beautiful hotel with four walls with heavy, heavy police presence. That's where we are right now. Without those police, we couldn't do it. We couldn't have the meetings like that. We get kicked off the internet. We get deplatformed from taking donations. We deplatformed from Twitter. And I'm going to tell you what, global white genocide, a big part of it, of the ethnic cleansing, is the lies that have been going on for probably a century. And on Blood River Radio, we said we were going to expose these lies, because what's so dangerous about with these lies, people? And believe me, I'm going to shut up in a minute. In fact, my guy's going to carry the whole rest of the show after we get through explaining all this stuff. What's so dangerous about these lies? Here's the lies: that the Confederate soldiers were evil, the Southerners were evil, the Nazis were bad, the German people were bad, the German peoples were animals. The Waffen SS were animals. They butchered babies. World War One was the war to end all wars. World War Two, you know, we were the good guys. You name your lie. Name your lie that homosexuals deserve special rights. We need to turn our children over to homosexuals. They're talking about already waiving, getting rid of the age of consent laws, so these perverts can have access to your children and your grandchildren. I could go on and on. We're barred from universities. We're barred from jobs. I mean, it's just incredible. You go around here in Memphis, Tennessee, any federal job, any state job, any county job, any de facto government job like the MLGW, like gas and water, it's all by blacks and foreigners. Most of them can't even speak English. Okay, now these lies I'm talking about, that the Nazis were bad, the Klan was bad. You name it's bad. We have those lies are like clubs that our enemies use, and they start beating our children. They're beating them now in preschool. They're teaching their preschool kids, two, three, 4 years old, that it's great to have homosexual sex. They teach them how to do it. They teach them how to have oral sex. They're taking away from us. We have to defeat these lies, people. We have to let them people know there were no death camps in Nazi Germany like has been talked about. We have to let them know there, but there were 450 death camps in the Soviet Union run by primarily by Jews. That's fact. That is absolute fact. And you know what? We're the only radio station I know in the United States that's had a friggin' Nazi own. And we might even have him own again if we don't get ticked off. But we have to expose these lies. And if people cannot accept the truth, like the prophets of old, that's not our fault. We're doing our job like we think God has led us to do. You know, some people may not want to touch it because they say it will cost you listeners. It will cost you donations. Be it may. I'm getting ready to go beg for some money from a friend I've had for years to try to help us stay on the air. It'd be pretty soon. But listen, that's not our purpose. Our purpose is to serve Almighty God, to expose these lies, to protect our people. Because you know what, people? We are daggum close to being genocided out of this country. And we're going to do it as gentlemanly as we can, because we are Southern gentlemen, and we're going to do it as Christianly as we can. But, you know, if people can't handle it, I mean, God forbid. You know, another big lie is Israel is good, the Palestinians are bad. So that's pretty much where we stand right here. And I hope you people realize that. You know, we've had awfully controversial guests on this show. And another thing I'd like to ask you people, what is hardcore? Let me tell you what I think hardcore is. Hardcore is when we are God's people. And we know, all you people out there in the audience, if you're Christians especially, you know what the truth is. You know what's good and bad. You know right from wrong. You know you cannot allow lies to stay around unchallenged. You have to take these lies and challenge them. And you have to take a baseball bat, and a rhetorical baseball bat, and beat the liars, these lies. Beat these lies into 1,000 pieces, man. Anyway, that's pretty much my rant right there. And I'm going to go to Matt. And then when Matt's through, he can go to Lee. Matt, take off on what I said, son. What do you think?
Yeah, people, the lies are defeating us. I can't tell you, when we got back from Charlottesville, how many people told me, well, I agree with our heritage and our ancestry and the monuments, but I don't agree with those other people that showed up with y'all at Charlottesville. Well, where'd you get that idea? You were watching the news. You were believing what the news told you, and the lies there. And I can't tell you how many times this has happened. People have believed the news over my own testimony, over our friend's own testimony. You know, we would, I swear I can't understand some of these people. They'll sit here and they'll say they're with us, but then they'll believe what the Jews are telling them on their local news. And the local news people is owned by the large corporation news agencies. It's all the same umbrella. It's a blanket organization designed to lie to you, and that's exactly what it is. And many of you have believed it. It's beating us over the head. I had a friend who told me, well, you know, I don't stand for what some of those people that showed up at Charlottesville stood for. Well, that's like Robert E. Lee saying, well, you know, I'm not going to serve the Confederacy because I don't stand for that slavery. You know, that's exactly the same thing. If you draw out the comparison, it is the exact scenario. You got to draw your line, people, and not cross it anymore. Are we going to keep backing up? Are we going to keep running from our responsibilities as men, as Christians, as believers? As this is our territory. We're losing our territory. They're bringing all sorts of Babylonian ideas in here after the Tower of Babel, you know, trying to mix all these different races into one homogenous group that's a bunch of slaves for the Jews. That's all they're trying to do for us. And another point is they're trying to keep you in perpetual bondage. Right now, you're in more bondage than you've ever been in. What is it going to take, you people, to stand up and fight and lash out against it? And, that's great all point. I've really got to say. I mean, I can't understand it. You know, people say, well, I'm going to use my guns when when they come to take our children away. Well, they've already done that. They've put them into public schools. Like Eddie said, they're brainwashing them about sexual deviancy when they're 3, 4, and 5 years old. And you still haven't stood up to fight. Where's your Second Amendment? You can't even go downtown and take a gun and hold it out in the street. The police will show up and shoot you dead. You don't have the Second Amendment. You're not going to suddenly use it someday, some magical day when all your little check boxes get marked off. If you're not man enough to stand up now, something's wrong with you.
Man, you made a great point, man. You used the key word, enslaved. We're slave bondage to, for instance, I'm going to go out on with the IRS. The IRS and the Federal Reserve, totally illegal. It's put there, one of the main reasons it's put there is to keep us in bondage. I've been told by a guy 100 times smarter than me, G.W. Griffin, who wrote The Creature from Jekyll Island. If you take the amount, and I know Sam knows all this, preaching, talking to this in front of Sam's like talking to, preaching to the minister. The amount of income tax that American workers pay in each year is exactly equal to the debt that we pay to finance the War Department. What they used to call it, the War Department. It finances all the illegal wars. They're using our money to go over here and bomb other Christians. Like we were talking about the General Nicholas from Bosnia, from Croatia. He said we had Christians, United States Americans military bombing the hell out of them. Well, y'all, I hear the music. We've got to go, and we're going to bring our guest on. We'll bring him on in just a minute. His name is James Shekelaw. We'll be right back in a minute, people.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Rick Vincent.
An apparent gas explosion at a South Florida shopping mall injures about 24 people. Plantation Fire Deputy Chief Joel Gordon.
We did have an active gas leak when we arrived. They were able to secure it. Broward County's hazmat team went in, they secured the gas initially, and then Tico was able to secure it from there. Whether that was the cause or not, we have not confirmed.
At least 2 people were seriously injured. Tragedy can bring out the best in people and the worst in people. There's been reports of looting in the Southern California community of Ridgecrest following the earthquakes. Mayor Peggy Breeden blames it on outsiders.
I ask all the residents, if you see something, report it. If something doesn't look right, question it. Talk to your friends and your neighbors, and please keep abreast of what's going on.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
It is a horrible scenario, but it happens. Dennis writes about his wife. She was diagnosed with leukemia. In fact, she's a 2-time survivor, and in the midst of all that, they ran up over $1 million in medical bills. Thankfully, they're Medishare members, and Dennis says they are so thankful for that, how others came together to meet their needs, and that's how so many Medishare members feel. This is not health insurance. It's different. You don't have to pay for things you don't believe in, and like Dennis found out, it just works. So if you join Medishare, not only do you save a lot of money, the typical family saves about $500 a month, but you know where your money's going each month. You're helping people, and if the time should come, they'll be helping and even praying for you. So yes, it's different, and as more than 400,000 people now know, when it comes to healthcare costs, different is beautiful. Find out more. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Speaking at the Essence Festival in New Orleans, Senator Kamala Harris says as president, she would invest $100 billion in federal home ownership grants to help address historical discrimination against black families.
By taking these steps, we can shrink the wealth gap between black and white households by at least one-third.
Democratic hopeful Joe Biden, addressing supporters in Sumter, South Carolina, defends his record on the issue of race.
When I talk about the Obama years, my opponents talk about its ancient history. When others talk about something I said in the 70s, they talk about it like yesterday. Kind of strange, isn't it? I know the history of this country. I'm amazed how far we come, but I know how much further we have to go and what we're capable of doing.
The former vice president has said he was caught off guard and wasn't prepared for Senator Harris's attack on his record on racial issues and busing in the first Democratic debates. This is USA Radio News.
Gotta love that music. You know, we just put that music on thanks to Matt. Matt turned me on to that music last week when we were up at Montgomery Bell. You know, it would be fine with me if we played the whole music. That is great. Matter of fact, Matt told me that, Matt, would you like to give him a little history on the music instead of me babbling about it? Tell him a little history about the music.
It's just real Nazi music. That was written probably, what, 1939? It was written by a German man in the height of the Germanic Empire's comeback. So I would call that just real Nazi music. The Jews,
well, alrighty, son.
The time in the movies, they don't tell you that they're using Nazi music. No, you know, if anyone endorses Nazi principles, all the Jewish communists start boycotting them and demanding why they're using Nazi stuff. They don't get the same treatment though when they're in their Hollywood movies. They use Nazi music, do they?
Well, they surely don't. But you know what? We lost, or for some reason, James wouldn't come on the air. But you know what? That's quite all right, because we have the one and only Karen Smith on. We're getting ready to go straight to Karen Smith. Let me give you a little. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to shut up. I'm going to let Karen Smith give you her own bow. How are you doing, Miss Karen Smith?
I'm great. Thank you. It's lovely to be on the show with you, Eddie.
Well, you know what? They say whenever God closes one window, he opens another one. And we lost one guest, and we have a great guest right now. And you, I talked to you last week thanks to Sam Bushman. Sam Bushman connected us up with you. I'll be in his debt forever for that. And you really knocked me off my feet when we spoke. We have another friend from the same part of the world that you're from. And we're gonna get a little, and I'm not gonna say who he was, but I'm gonna let you detail all that. We've got, well, I'll just say we got a lady here. She was lived in South Africa for a long time. She still has family there, and she's gonna give us some. She's still she's very up to date. She has her own radio show there called Resolution Radio, and one called Radio Free South Africa, if I'm not mistaken. And she's gonna give us more viewpoints about South Africa. And also, Miss Karen, the reason I got my co-host Matt on tonight, one of the reasons I had him on, you were originally scheduled to come on the second hour, is because he is going to South Africa, I think, in September. But primarily, I'm going to let you take off. Give us your bio, and you go anywhere you want to go, and we'll follow your lead, okay?
Great. Thank you very much. So to introduce myself, my name is Karen Smith. I'm an African-American now, the genuine article, because I'm from Africa and have been an American for 2 years. I was born in Rhodesia, now called Zimbabwe, and when I was about five years old, my dad, who was on block watch during the civil war in Zimbabwe, my dad was on block watch protecting each block from intrusion, and he was beaten up and left on our porch for dead. And that night, my youngest brother was born prematurely at home because of the shock my mother went through. So when my dad recovered, he said, look, I can't raise five children under the age of 10 in an atmosphere like this. I just can't risk it. We have to go. So we left Zimbabwe with the clothes on our backs, literally, because when you left, you were allowed to take what would fit in your vehicle. So you can imagine five children, one a newborn, and two adults. You can't fit very much else in your vehicle. So my father had to start all over again, and we went to Southwest Africa, which is now called Namibia. And my dad started again with five children and a wife, who obviously at that time didn't work because we had a newborn baby. And he went to great lengths to make sure that we survived and had good education and all of these good things. However, we lived on the very edge of the town, and right across the road from us were mountains and a straight bush. And at that time, the South African troops were fighting the Cubans and the Russians on the Angolan border to try and keep communism out of our country. And the South Africans, the ANC, the armed wing of the ANC, called them Konta Esizwe, which means Spear of the Nation, they were infiltrating through Namibia to go into South Africa and bomb civilians there. Well, we were held hostage in our house for 3 days by these people. It was a terrible experience. And once again, my dad said, look, this can't happen. This cannot. My children are traumatized. We have to leave. So once again, we left with practically nothing and went to South Africa. Now, when we got to South Africa, I was in Standard 8, which is grade 10 here. And I finished my schooling in South Africa. And everything was fine there for quite a long time. We were very happy. And this is under the dreaded apartheid regime. It was a clean, beautiful country. Everything worked. The streets were beautiful. Everything was fine. And being a kid at the time, I didn't realize how heavily taxed we were because the whites in South Africa paid all the taxes to create homelands for the 11 disparate tribes that make up the South African blacks. So, for instance, the Zulus got Zululand, the Vendors got Venda, and so on and so forth. Now, they each had their own homelands where they were ruled by their own chiefs. They believed in their own gods. They did everything for themselves. They were allowed to come and work in the white portion of South Africa. The taxpayers paid for their houses, their roads, their sewage system, their running water, their electricity, their hospitals, their schools, their universities, etc. The white taxpayer paid for that. Now, you have to understand that there were never more than 6 million whites in South Africa at any stage of South Africa's lifespan. The whites never numbered more than 6 million. Whereas in the 40 years of apartheid, the black population grew by 920%. Now, that is a huge number of increase in black people. And that happened because of Western medicine, their lifespan was extended. There were far less baby deaths. And, of course, they were flocking in from all over Africa to get their piece of the economic success that South Africa was. So apartheid, in my opinion, was a self-defense strategy where the whites kept their area white by night and the workers, the black workers, came in during the day and had to leave at night. If they were found in a white area without their passbook at night, they were put in jail. Now, there was an incredible uproar about blacks having to carry a passbook. But the funny thing about that is every white South African carries an ID book. And in the ID book is your birth certificate, your marriage certificate, your gun license, your address. Everything that pertains to your life is in that book. So we each had to carry one, and you had to carry yours at all times as a white person as well. I must admit, you were probably not arrested. You got a warning and had to go to the local police station and show your book if you didn't have it on you when you were stopped. But, you know, it was not black discrimination. Because think about it like this. Both Mahatma Gandhi and Nelson Mandela became lawyers. They got their law degrees in this terrible anti-black apartheid system where we treated them so badly, we didn't educate them, they got a lesser education than anybody else. How did those two and dozens of others come out of that dreaded system so well educated if we treated them that badly? It doesn't make any sense to me how the world was turned against white South Africans by sheer lies and misinformation. It just doesn't make any sense to me. So in order to...
You know, go ahead. I'm sorry. I thought you were taking a pause. I'm sorry. Continue on.
I beg your pardon?
Continue on.
Was that the news agency spreading these types of lies?
It was, and it was the Hollywood types as well, like Bono, who sang that song, I Won't Perform at Sun City, which is a big tourist attraction in South Africa. I mean, you had all these liberals attending concerts and things around the world, waving their candles and speaking out against these terrible, horrific white South Africans. It was just scary to us in South Africa, who saw a totally different picture of who we were. We knew this was lies, but there was nothing that we could do about it. Because don't forget, the internet did not exist in those days. Cell phones did not exist in those days. There were sanctions against South Africa, so we couldn't even hear music from outside of our country.
Miss Karen, I hate to interrupt you, but we have to go to a break. We'll be right back, Miss Karen. And then I'll have a question or two myself, and then we'll go back to Matt and Lee. Well, thank you, people. Hang on. We'll be right back.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosertify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Well, people, we're right back with this fascinating guest. And everybody here in Blood River, we were strictly enjoying Miss Karen talking to you tonight. Miss Karen, I have a couple of questions. Now, if I'm not mistaken, you're currently living in Texas. Am I correct? Miss Karen?
Hello.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me okay, Miss Karen?
I've got some awful interference there, but yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. Are you currently living in, I think you're currently living in Texas. Am I right?
Yes, I am.
Well, you know, do you see any parallels between what's going on, especially in the area of the country where you live in the Southwest, because you're closer to the our southern border with Mexico than we are here in Tennessee? This may be what we used to call a rhetorical question, but do you see any parallels between this the tidal wave of non-white migrants pouring across our border and what went on in South Africa?
Yes, it's very scary for me. I didn't flee to this country. I married an American and came here because of him. You know, I had no intention of leaving South Africa. I was going to stand and fight with the rest of them. But yes, I see it here. It is frightening to me to see that the government seems to be intentionally bringing these people in. And they are saying loud and clear that they're going to outbreed you, they're going to own this country, they're going to own it in a couple of years, which is absolutely what's going to happen. Because if you look at the Muslims they're bringing in, a guy with four wives, 20 children, that are living off your taxpayer dollars and being given everything because they're refugees, and then turning around and burning your flag and murdering people, or driving trucks into them and planning to bomb all kinds of areas, they are doing exactly the same as the blacks who came into South Africa, poured in from all over Africa. They wanted part of the economy. They said they wanted a better life for themselves. They lived at the taxpayer expense, and then they turned on us. And just slaughtered us, you know, and are doing that to this day. It is absolutely frightening because in South Africa, since St. Nelson Mandela took over in 1994, which is now 25 years ago, they have killed, murdered, and in the most horrific ways killed, 70,000 and more white people. Now, that amount of soldiers, American soldiers, have not died in the wars that you are fighting right now. And yet the world turns a blind eye to what is going on in South Africa. And that is why when I got here, I started my radio show and was screaming to the American populace, pay attention to South Africa, because this is what is going to happen to your country in no time flat. And people just, well, you can imagine what the things I get accused of daily. I mean, it's shocking the things people send me emails about or write on my Facebook page or whatever. But I'm a racist and a Nazi for even suggesting stuff like that. And I'm in the right place now in Texas because I should be wearing a hood and join the Ku Klux Klan and all this kind of rubbish. When all I was trying to do is point out that what is happening in South Africa is going to happen to the rest of the world. And if you look at Europe, and if you look at the UK right now, they are gone. They are done for. They have been overcome by these black hordes, which their governments have willingly opened their arms to. And the white taxpayers just cannot keep on paying for it. So the same thing is happening here. You are getting these people in. They are committing atrocities in your country, raping, murdering, stealing, looting, demanding. I mean, I can't understand how you can have people who are refugees who they come here waving their own flag, their own country's flag, and they want to turn this country into where they just supposedly escaped from. They should be so damn grateful to this country for giving them a better life and giving them freedoms that they never had in their own countries. And they should integrate and become good taxpaying citizens and just be damn grateful forever. But they're not. And I see it happening here. I mean, I live in a tiny little village. It really is a small town near Amarillo, which is our biggest town. And we have a huge Somali population in Amarillo. A lot of Somalis were sent there. And because we are only less than an hour's drive away from Amarillo, their crime wave is hitting our little town. When I first got here 8 years ago, the people here would drive into the Walmart parking lot, stop their car, leave the keys in, leave the doors unlocked, and go and do their shopping. Well, you can't do that anymore. Your kids can't leave their bicycles outside at night. You can't leave your house doors unlocked. It is a very scary situation for Americans, not for myself, because I lived like this most of my life, but for the Americans here whose families have been here for decades. This is a horrible situation because they have never had it before. And this is what is happening. And these people rate. I'm sorry, I'm not a racist. I'm simply saying facts. These people are violent. They have seem to have few morals and ethics. They don't care. And they feel it is their right to destroy everything that is white.
Karen, you know, would you tell our American families where they can run to when it gets so bad here and people are and all justice and all law is completely ignored and people are breaking into our homes and raping our daughters and stuff? Where are Americans going to flee to, Karen?
Well, where are South Africans going to flee to? There is not a country in this world that will take them as refugees or asylees. One of the things that I do, one of the many things I do for South Africans, is if people come here and apply for asylum, because they cannot work until they're hearing when they get a green card, I help them to find accommodation, people who will help them with accommodation and food, etc., until they can have their first hearing and support themselves. So I got an email yesterday which scared the hell out of me. One of the guys that came here and has applied for asylum, he had a credible fear hearing. Now, this guy has personally been attacked, stabbed, locked up in his car boot, driven around, forced to go to the ATM and draw his money, stabbed some more, thrown on the side of the road while they stole his car and left for dead. His credible fear hearing, they sent him a response saying, they sent him a notice of intention to deny his request for asylum. Now, you tell me how that is possible. So these white South Africans are not welcome in this country. Nobody in the world wants them. And because of the about 3.5 million surviving white South Africans in South Africa, about a million of them have been dispossessed because of affirmative action. They cannot work. They are not allowed in the workplace by law in that country. So they will never get a job again. Now, a third of the white population is living in extreme poverty, living in squatter camps, living in their cars, living in their bush under a piece of tarpaulin where they can be murdered quite easily. They don't have money to flee the country, even if they had somewhere to go. So what becomes of them?
Absolutely. Miss Karen, are you familiar with, for instance, can you hear me okay, Miss Karen?
Yes.
Oh, great. Great. You know, in South Africa, there are, I'm sure you know more about the situation than I do. How could you describe, tell us about the information you have as far as what percentage, how many white orphans we have. We heard from Simon Roach, and I think you seconded it, that we have hundreds, if not thousands, of poor white children. Their parents have been murdered. They're having to live alone in squatter camps. You know, they rummage out of garbage dumps and take handouts for food. We have a period of, a group of children there, 8, 10, 12 years old, who've never been educated. They're just left out to die. Is that true? What do you know about that? About the children in South Africa?
True, because I work very closely with a charity in South Africa that helps to feed, clothe, educate, medicate, all of these things. 480 white squatter camps they work with, and I work very closely with them to try and raise money to keep these children alive. Now, the problem is that Okay, take it from birth. The minute these children are born, their mothers generally cannot feed them because they're starving themselves. So there is no nutrition in the mother's milk if their mothers have any at all.
Ms. Karen, I'm sorry we have to go to another break. We're getting ready to go to the second hour, and we're going to bring you back in the second hour. So people hang on and hang on to your seats, and we'll see just how much that the white people in the world. This is going on worldwide, by the way. We're going to get into that in the second hour. We'll be right back to continue listening to Ms. Karen Smith.